And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Unfortunately, we had a tough loss at the end, and we certainly were disappointed, but not disappointed in the season.
There's just so much that I can improve on, and I really am anxious to get after it.
And he roars ahead. Toe drag score!
Not the result we wanted. I think we deserve better.
Open look, Keller. His shot blocked away. Rebound, they score! Richard Pontic.
They're all kind of day to day.
I knew I could find Kev in that short corner, and that's pretty much money.
Down the lane, feeds love for a corner three. He knocks it down.
I think it just started with our aggressiveness.
We still have a hell of a team. You can't take nothing away from them.
Another jam. Ben Simmons breaking through a trio of Memphis defenders who were passively trying to guard him.
He talk a lot of trash. I think he's talking more trash than somebody's talking trash to him.
Swing and a fly ball into right center. It is over the wall for a home run. Swings and lifts it in the air to center. That ball is gone. A home run for Marcell Ozuna.
Frank Schwindel. Boy, the Royals are just unloading in the fifth inning.
You know, definitely, I think wants to do it, you know, because you can go and get 12 to 14 at bats in a, you know, 2 hour period.
Hey, welcome in here Thursday on The Closers alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Your opening montage, Missouri women's basketball from yesterday. Press availability, head coach Robin Pinchin on the season. Sophie Cunningham on what she needs to improve next. NBC Sports Net. Blues win 3 games in a row, and 3 times in a row they've had to go overtime in order to win that particular game. Kevon Miller, Boston, the head coach, not the result we wanted. No, but if you're a Blues fan, that's the result they wanted.
It's true.
Yes. Let's see. Fox Sports Arizona. The Coyotes win. Joe Ponick with the goal. Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach, did a much better job with today's injury update than he did yesterday. Because if you can keep away from talking about groins, he's fine. LeBron James and then WTAM. Kevin Love, 3-pointer. Bron back at it again. DeMar DeRozan. The Fanatic, 97-5. A Ben Simmons dunk. NBC Sports, Casey Hayward, Philip Rivers is a trash talker. And then some baseball. Baseball.
Oh, baseball.
Yes. Back-to-back homers for DeJong and Ozuna. And then Mr. Schwindel goes yard.
That's right.
That's right. Noted graduate from St. John's. Playing baseball right now with the Kansas City Royals. And then comments from Ned Yost on Alex Gordon. Getting some swings in the minors. Not being assigned to the minors.
Oh.
But getting swings in the minors.
Okay.
I'm sure there is a semantic difference in that. But nevertheless, that's Ned Yost's tale to tell right now. So, be interesting going forward.
Interesting is one way to put it,
I
guess.
You doubt. How much patience will they have with him? Not Ned, but with, well, I guess maybe with Ned, but more with Alex.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that is a big contract. That contract is a bit of an albatross right now around the neck of the Royals. And, I mean, contracts are guaranteed in baseball, so there's really nothing they can do.
Right.
I mean, unless somebody else out there thinks they want to fix them.
Okay.
I mean,
the Royal, even if they trade him, they're going to be asked to eat part of the contract dollars.
Oh, very much so.
You're just not going to get rid of it.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's in a, I think the Royals are in a bad spot with that right now, just because of how not necessarily how that contract is constructed, but how the dollars that are involved in it.
Yeah.
if you're trying to shed payroll, which has looked like what the Royals were trying to do a good portion of the offseason, you know, that's one of those where they may get rid of the person, but that contract is going to be around for a little while. So that that'll be kind of an interesting one to work with. So Royals, we will begin our business with David Leske from BP Kansas City, and we'll talk with him on Tuesday ahead of the season opener this coming 1 week from, what is it, 1 week from tomorrow, the season opener for the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
And then we'll visit with Larry Borowski on Monday about the St. Louis Cardinals ahead of their season opener next week as well. And then we begin our regular baseball talks on Mondays and Thursdays. Cardinals on Monday, Royals on Thursday. So that'll be interesting, because you'll get a look out of one of the teams from the weekend and a look at another team going into the weekend. But next week it's going to be, what do we know and what do we hope we know about both teams?
Right.
Yeah, so we'll have that going up. On the show today, we're going to visit with Dave Matter from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about 4:35 or so. They had a pro day over at the Missouri Athletic Training Center, the MATSE, for about, I think his original number was 14, and then there was one other that was added on. So 15 total Missouri Tigers over there, both immediately past and past. Because like Anthony Sherrills was there, Ish Witter was there for an NFL pro day. Most notable of the names, of course, is Jamon Moore, also Marcel Frazier. For Jeff City product, Joey Burkett was in there, A.J. Logan out of Rockbridge High School. So we'll talk with Dave Matter about that and a little bit more about not just the spring practice as it is right now, you know, stretch lines and
sure
non-specifics.
Right.
We'll be as generally non-specific as we can endeavor to circle the issue without landing on anything concrete.
So just like spring practice?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, if we're looking to land on something concrete, we might have to actually talk about the south end zone expansion.
Right.
Which right now is undergoing a reduction before it expands.
Sure.
Yeah. We good?
Sure. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All set.
We're going to visit with head coach Brian Smith, Missouri Tiger Wrestling. Had an interesting discussion with him earlier this morning as he's getting ready to get out of town. Something about vacation, I think.
Yeah.
You know, spring break.
That sounds good.
Tired of kids. So anyway, we're going to visit with him in the show here as well. He's got some interesting comments about Eastern Michigan dropping wrestling and men's swimming and diving and tennis and putting some more money toward football.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the possibility of the possibilities of maybe a conference switch. So we'll discuss that with head coach Brian Smith. That is coming up. And then Ann Rogers will join us in hour number two as we will look back at this Missouri Tiger basketball season. It's much like the men's season, encouragement and disappointment all kind of wrapped up into one. But I think this ended up becoming more of a letdown, I think, than the men's season was. Just because of all the pieces being there throughout the course of the season. So we'll visit with Ann Rogers in hour number two about all of that. So with all of that in mind, where should we start? What struck your fancy out of last night? Or even in tonight, because you got NCAA Sweet 16. You Mr. Bracket Boy yourself there.
Sure.
Oh, no, huh?
No. No, not at all. it's... You know, as this sports landscape continues to grow, I think it's interesting to, I think the two most dynamic things I'm seeing right now, maybe three, I guess, three dynamic things. One is this, the amateurism discussion about college sports. Okay. Obviously right now it's focused on basketball because basketball's playing mm-hmm. and the FBI investigation. But without too big of a strain on anyone's imagination, you can imagine that all the same things are going to be able to be said about football as well. Paid under the table okay. and all these things. And just that is very interesting to me, and to watch this drama unfold with that hanging over it has been very interesting. Secondly, I think the NBA is a huge ascending star right now. I know we don't have a team geographically locally. We've talked with Ian Levy and before with Howard Cooper, you know, Scott Howard Cooper, and we talked with a lot. We try to get some NBA on, but I've been asked more lately about NBA talk in my other gig where I deal with public a lot and public who are watching sports on TV. I've been asked to put on NBA games and turn on the NBA.
More so than the past.
More so than the past than ever that I recall. And then third would be the Blues. Boy, Blues fans are excited. The Blues fans have taken notice of this little winning streak, albeit via, you know, overtime to get there. But they've taken notice and they're ready. So it's interesting. I think it's I think that's something very, very especially a little more dialed in locally here. I think that's a very interesting thing.
Yeah, and I find the NBA discussion more interesting because there has been an even more pointed discussion about when does Kansas City get a basketball team? Will Kansas City get an NBA team? Or will they get an NHL franchise first?
Right.
But there seems to be much more of a buzz about, hey, NBA franchise, Kansas City. And it seems like it's a natural thing when you start looking at road trips and geographic assignments and trying to lessen some of the distance that teams are traveling now. And looking at some of the teams that might be maybe a little bit on the maybe looking for new locations. So that's, yeah, I agree with you on that aspect as far as, you know, that buzz, even though there was not a team in St. Louis nor Kansas City, you know, you do have a little bit more of a buzz about the league as a whole, which I think that's also a testament to the health of the league right now, too.
Yeah.
And listen, having drama in the offseason stuff, that didn't hurt the league at all.
No. Beef is great for the league.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Dave Matt is going to join us a little bit later on here in this half hour, or in this hour, rather. So we'll talk with him about some South End Zone stuff. We'll talk with him about some basketball and also a little bit as generally nonspecific, circling the argument as we can about some spring football as well. So a lot of stuff to talk about, and we will endeavor to continue to do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young and happy to be joined by head wrestling coach Brian Smith. Missouri Tigers coming off the NCAA tournament. And this is our last visit until things get started up again next fall. But, coach, I mean, you come out of that tournament and you got sixth. Yes, it was a top 10 finish. But from the what you went into expecting to what you got coming out of it, what was kind of your thoughts of the weekend?
Well, your first thoughts are it's disappointing. We have such high expectations in our program, and we wanted to get a team trophy, which two teams tied for fourth, and we were right behind them, and we didn't get that. So on one side of it, it's disappointment. On the other, you step back from it a little bit and say, you know, we went 19-0. We set a conference record in scoring. We go to the Nationals and have four All-Americans, and finish in the top six in the country for the fourth straight year. There's some positives you can find in there for sure, but I know there was disappointment in our guys that they wanted. There were some guys that could have done better and just didn't have their best weekend. So I think you deal with that, but there's a lot to look forward to too.
Coach, sometimes you look at way teams are made in all different sports, and there's just a difference between being prepared or built for regular season success and being built for postseason success. Is there anything different that this team does or can do to show that tournament acumen? I mean, the duels you've got, it's so good at the dual level, and then in the tournaments, it seems like the guys either lose their way maybe a little. What's the difference there?
I think the difference is sometimes the national tournament, and you look at in any sport at the collegiate level, the national tournament is approached differently. I don't, and my staff didn't, and I was hoping my team wouldn't, but when you look at the first round at the NCAA wrestling, if you look at the first round of the NCAA basketball, I think there's this, it's so much attention is brought to it, and it's such a bigger venue, and the media is bigger, and sometimes the kids let it become bigger. Mm-hmm. And that's where the mental side, and it's such a mental, all sports are, when you get to that level, it becomes which team is mentally able to deal with all the extra stuff and block it out. And sometimes kids don't. And I say kids because they are. They're 18 to 22-year-old young people, and a lot of times they let it get the best of them. And instead of, you know, a number one seed going out and beating a 16, they somehow lose. And during the regular season, that would never happen. And so I know it's the mental side. And that's my job, to get them prepared for that more. And we only had a couple of those that which hurt us. You know, it hurts us on team score-wise, but that's my job, to prepare them for it. But it is difficult in today's day and age, because when we're going through a season and there's maybe 1,000 or 2,000 fans are the biggest, and then we go into 18, 19,000 people, and it's a three-day event, that's so much attention is brought to. You have to learn to treat it the same as the 1,000 to 2,000 people.
Yeah, Head Coach Brian Smith with us, Missouri Tiger Wrestling. And out of that weekend, who's, as far as the early round disappointments, I mean, you know, John falls in that first round, as did Joey and Canton as well. Barlow was not seeded, but he also falls in that first round. Of those four kids, and we'll add Connor Flynn into that as well, who bounced back the best for you? Mentally got right back into this thing and really showed what they had.
I would, without a doubt, John Earnesty, because the kid he ran into was on fire. He ended up taking third in the country and, you know, beat higher seeds than John. It was just crazy how great that kid wrestled in the tournament and prepared he was. It was an amazing thing. He went from unseeded to third in the country and almost made the finals, almost beat the national champ in the semis that went overtime. So we just ran into a buzzsaw at the wrong time, and I knew it was a tough matchup. But he comes all the way back and was a point away from becoming an All-American and was almost behind the guy to get the points, almost put him on his back. He was so close to becoming an All-American, but he had to go the long route. And so I would say John Earnesty.
Yeah. And Coach, news coming out late last week, and it kind of has rolled over into this week as well. Eastern Michigan dropping wrestling, and you know, key member of the MAC conference. From just a step back look at it, what does that do to the conference as health as a whole to lose Eastern Michigan?
Well, it never helps a conference, and with our sport, there was a great announcement made during the NCAA's that Arkansas Little Rock is starting a new Division I program. And so the excitement in the building that day, and then a couple days later, you know, you see that. And it wasn't just wrestling. I think people, wrestling draws the most attention because we go on the attack mode and go to save it.
Right.
But there was, I think, tennis and swimming and some other programs that were dropped at that overall throughout the country, there's definitely a dilemma in our Olympic-type sports that are being dropped to support bad business, which is football. Football is a bad business in a sport. It costs too much money. It loses so much money. And I'm going out and saying it. If you look at Eastern Michigan, how much they lose in football and money in football, it's silliness. They'll never make money in football. They'll never even come close to making money. That is the purpose of school, to lose money or to add, you know, an opportunity for kids to, young people to go to college and do a sport that actually does something in our Olympic thing. But, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But I know I don't want to see 10 years from now or 20 years from now just football and basketball at the collegiate level, because that's not what it's about. That's not why athletics was started at college.
Coach, as you and Jim Stirk obviously are in you know, talks and through the athletic department, is there talk of another relocation? Is the MAC the final destination for Mizzou wrestling, or is there a way to strengthen that schedule that you go through in the regular season with your eye on doing something more in the postseason?
Yes, without a doubt, we're going to try and strengthen the schedule. You know, this year we're still going to have Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State. You know, the problem is the Big Ten won't wrestle the University of Missouri. I think people think I'm avoiding it, but I would wrestle anybody in the Big Ten. And the problem is their schedules are so tough. The last thing they want to do is go out and wrestle another Big Ten type program that's a top 5 or 6 team in the country. So they're looking for an easier match outside of their conference. So for me to get the Big Ten on the schedule, it's really difficult. But we picked up an Arizona State who's on the rise that will wrestle next year for the next couple of years, and I'm trying to find a couple others. But we'll, you know, with Iowa State and Oklahoma being down right now, and those are programs that dropped us off the schedule too, and Ohio State dropped us off the schedule, it's just a continuous battle for me to get people to wrestle us. It's the good and bad of being a really strong program is that it makes it where nobody wants to wrestle you, even though you have this success.
And with that, you mentioned Oklahoma and Iowa State. I know you have the annual duels with Oklahoma State. You picked up the win at Gallagher, Iowa this season. Is there a thought to possibly heading back to the Big 12 if the MAC strength doesn't continue to improve?
I mean, that is out there. That discussion between the Big 12 has talked about it and mentioned it to us, but right now I'm focused. You know, we just renewed our 5-year thing with the MAC, and I'm focused on that. If something if something happens where the MAC starts to change again, then I'm sure my administration would sit down with me and say, what's the best for your program? But right now, for this next year, we're focused on that we're in the MAC. We're adding Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, and that's where we're at. If it a couple years down the road, if something changes, then I'm sure we'll have to change. But right now, we are in the MAC, and we're going to have to figure out how to do better at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying that we're trying to figure out how to go up 4 or 5 spots.
Yeah.
So it's a different type of talk, compared to some, what other people are looking at. It's just a couple spots we're looking for. We're looking to get that team trophy.
Yeah, you've got to worry about the action on the mat and let kind of the administrators worry about the stuff off the mat
right.
Kind of keep you in the loop on that. Brian Smith, head coach wrestling for Missouri with us. All right, the season is done, so it's kick back, relax, feet in the sand, and just kind of take things off, right? What's the schedule for you now?
Well, I told my wife I wouldn't work on Monday, and I worked about 6-7 hours, so I lied to her. She caught me at the office, and so I'm working all week. I met a little bit with some of the leaders that are coming back, and I also met with the guys real quick because they go on spring break starting Friday. So just a quick meeting, but I'll head down to the beaches of Fort Myers with my wife and enjoy my wife and and enjoy time away from wrestling and turn my phone off and kind of forget about the world for a week.
Well, good luck with that one. What books are we bringing? Or are you allowed to bring books?
I'm finishing up the endurance book.
Okay.
And then this spring we will read Hard Hat by John Gordon as a team, the whole program. And we'll work on that and have discussions on it. And it'll be good. I'm looking forward to that when the guys get back after spring break next week. I'm purchasing 40 books for them. And we'll all sit down and read together and talk about it and have discussion and grow as a team in the spring.
All righty. Head coach Brian Smith. Coach, thank you for the time this season. I really do appreciate it. Enjoy the off time, and then things get cracked up here before we know it, huh?
Yes, it will. It's already. The great thing is seeing my weight room was full for optional lifting times this whole week, so there's an excitement still. I think there's unfinished business that our team wants to do, and I think that's exciting to be a part of that.
All righty. Coach, thank you again. I really do appreciate the time this season, and enjoy the summer.
You too, George. Thank you.
All right, you are very welcome. That is head coach Brian Smith. We'll be right back. We've got more of the closers, and we will do that right after this.
The closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to the closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Hope your Thursday afternoon is going well. Thanks, Brian Smith, for taking some time out ahead of his vacation. Spring break is next week, Dave Matter, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, joining us. Spring break, is that off time for you, or does that mean you just have easier parking downtown?
There'll be a little downtime, but hopefully nobody hears that so that news doesn't break all over the place next week. But
okay, all right.
Let's all hope for a quiet week.
Yeah. Well, if you and DeArmond are both going on vacation, you know what happens there. So
I'm not going to call it vacation. Oh. Some quiet time. Let's go with that.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. NFL Pro Day was held over at the University of Missouri today at the Missouri Athletic Training Center. Some of the notables, of course, Jamon Moore, you know, his combine times, not real strong, so he had an opportunity to improve on that. Marcel Frazier, A.J. Logan, Joey Burkett, some of the guys, some of the past guys as well. Ish Witter showing up, Anthony Sherrills. What was your take about Pro Day and the attendance versus the perception of Missouri football from 2017-18 season?
Well, there weren't as many. Not every team was there. 26 of the 32 teams were there, and there weren't any coaches, assistant coaches, or head coaches, or really even front office people. That was all regional and national scouts, which is different than in years past when Missouri had an obvious first-round pick, whether that was Charles Harris last year or Shane Ray before that, or going back to 2011 when they had two guys in Blaine Gabbert and Alden Smith, and you had, I think there were six head coaches that year. So, you know, the crowd is usually reflective of, you know, the high profile or the level of profile prestige of the class. And this year you've got Jamon Moore, who I think is a mid-round pick. I think Marcel Frazier is probably a late pick. And outside of that, there's really anybody else I think would be kind of be a surprise. So when you don't have first-rounders, the head coaches and the coordinators don't show up for Pro Day. So that's it'll be much different next year when Drew Locke and Terry Beckner Jr. are going through this process.
Yeah, they're sticking around, you know.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. and the NFL coaches will find their way to Columbia Regional Airport next year.
And then they will complain about access and egress and all the rest of that for the regional airport. But that continues to improve. The spring ball, I know it's really difficult to tell much of anything from spring ball, but just what are some of your takeaways early on, a couple of weeks ahead of the spring game?
You know, the really only thing that I've taken much away from, and I haven't been at every practice because mm-hmm. of the basketball schedule, yeah. has been the variety. Excuse my dog. The variety of Missouri's new offense. I mean, they are. It looks really different from one day to the next. It's not that standard three or four wide receiver formation that you saw under Josh Heupel. Derek Dooley really wants to try a lot of stuff, and then kind of see what works. What works with Drew Lock? What works with the receivers? And then just have more variety when the season gets here. So they're not, you know, just something that looks very similar each and every week. And, you know, that's something that Drew Lock wanted. He made that pretty clear. Mm-hmm. He wanted a shorter learning curve to the NFL with more pro style looks. And that's what Missouri is showing right now. Now, I don't know if the playbook will be as big in the fall as it probably is right now. They just want to kind of trial and error some things. But you see a lot of different things out there.
Is Drew a kind of guy with that football IQ that can absorb that type of information, process it, and begin to just play football as opposed to thinking everything through?
Well, he's a pretty sharp kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is his third offense in 4 years at Missouri, and he's done pretty well the first time they had a transition, and he really had it figured out last year. You know, he made some interesting comments the other day saying that, yeah, the playbook is bigger. There's more to learn. There's more formations. But within each play, things are easier because it sounds like there's fewer kind of option routes with receivers. Things are more clearly defined within each play, and he's not doing as much thinking once he knows what the play is and once everybody's assignments are. So he's played a lot of college football. I mean, that's a lot more than you see a lot of quarterbacks, high-profile quarterbacks these days, because a lot of them once they kind of reach, you know, what Drew has gone through and his success level, they're usually off to the NFL. So they really have a luxury in him as in terms of his experience.
Dave, this football team, as it gets prepared and stretch lines and all the things going on with spring practice, it seems like every year there's a position group that seems like it's in need, and whether through a youth movement or a veteran who steps up, they succeed more, and there's always a unit that when they seem poised to succeed, they seem like they kind of underwhelm. And we'll skip the negative one today, but if you had to put, you know, your money on somebody that one of the units that looked like it might underperform on paper at the moment, that might actually surprise people next year.
Well, that's hard to say. Their wide receiver group is really, really thin, but I do like the guys that they have out there in Jonathan Johnson, and I think Rashad Floyd's got a chance to, he's playing both inside and out. I think he's got a chance to do some good things. Emmanuel Hall, they really want to diversify his game up. I mean, last year he was pretty much a straight go route guy who would just go down the field as fast as he could and get open. And he was very good at that, but they want to see him be able to do more things and run different routes. So that's definitely a position group to watch. They're going to add a lot of guys, some freshmen here in early June, and then once they get into workouts. The safety position is another one where, gosh, they lose two starters essentially, and they've got two backups who have played a lot in Ronnell Perkins and Cam Hilton, but I think I'd really like to see, you know, a real playmaker emerge there on the back end, and a guy that can just be a difference maker, which they really haven't had here for a couple of years.
Dave Matter, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave_Matter. Look for the little blue check mark. That way you've got the right one and you're getting the accurate information. South end zone expansion. I noticed that they helpfully put down the tarp on that south end zone to protect damage to the turf. But it's an interesting look to what has now become a mini horseshoe for Missouri.
Yeah, it's really different. I mean, we knew that was going to happen when they had to take that part of the building down to get ready for the construction. But hearing about it and thinking about it is a little bit different than when you see how it looks. So it's going to have an odd look to it here, you know, this spring and summer. But they're going to have to work really fast to get that thing done for 2019. That'll be here before we know it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that'll be when they're now they're still planning on having it. Is it going to be cleared? Do you know of that, the construction area during the football season, or is that one more thing the fan base is going to have to contend with?
Well, it's going to be a construction zone. I'm sure they would like to make it as convenient as possible for the fans who are at least on those edges on the east and west side. I'm sure it'll probably be a little bit more convenient later in the season as opposed to early in the year when they'll probably clean some stuff up. So it'll be a challenge, but you know, in the end, I think they really believe it'll be worth it.
Yep. Well, no, I hope so. It's about $100 million expansion, so that it better be worth every dang penny that they're spending on that one. Let's switch over to basketball. Probably about the last time until recruits get announced as actual firm commitments. I understand what the expectations were coming into the season, top five recruiting class, and all the personnel. But at the end of the year, when you had what you had and you still had that first-round exit, was it expectation and hype and maybe overachievement and then disappointment? Or where was that kind of curve for you, Dave, as you followed this season along?
Well, if we're talking about expectations in October, pre-November 10th, I would have said, yeah, they pretty much met my expectations. I picked Missouri 5th in the SEC, and that was with Michael Porter as the preseason player of the year. And I thought that will probably be good enough to get into the NCAA tournament as, I think the goal I thought would be reasonable would be the home team in your game. So that would be, you know, the 8 seed or lower. And that's exactly what turns out. They finished tied for 4th. What were they, the 6th seed, 5th seed in the SEC tournament? And then they got an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. So if you go based on that, then, yeah, they hit on their expectations. But obviously the makeup of the team changed so much from November 10th on when you lose Michael Porter Jr. for the bulk of the season, you lose Blake Harris, you lose Terrence Phillips. You just lose a lot of depth, and you're down to 8 scholarship players, and then by the end of the season you're down to 7. So that said, I thought they exceeded expectations. And, you know, the ending was disappointment. The loss to Georgia, the loss to Florida State, on its own, those things were disappointing because I thought they could have won both games and maybe made a little bit of a run in both tournaments. But when you take into context everything that happened to that team over the course of the last 4 or 5 months, I thought it was a pretty good place to be in, to finish with 20 wins and to make the tournament as an 8 seed.
What's the future of this team as you see it? I mean, we know they've got 4 signees right now, and they're working hard on Courtney Ramey and EJ Liddell, and maybe a transfer out of Maine Calixte coming in. Where's the future for this team?
Well, you know, there's a lot of unknowns at this point. I mean, we know what 4 guys they're bringing in. They're all sort of perimeter players. But we don't know how quickly they're going to adapt to the college game. I mean, they're going to get opportunities to play right away. If you think about it right now, the returning group of players, the only healthy backcourt guy is Jordan Geist. I mean, Colin Van Leer's obviously got a long recovery with his knee injury. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael Porter Jr., we don't know anything yet, but no one would be surprised if he enters the NBA draft and doesn't come back. Otherwise, you've got a lot of bigs and some guys that you know, I think can really help them next year. And Jeremiah Tillman and obviously Kevin Purrier's played a lot of college basketball. We don't know about Jontay Porter's status yet. So there's just a lot of question marks on how it's all going to work, how it's all going to come together, who's going to be the point guard. You know, they lose 40% of their scoring from Cassius Robertson and Jordan Barnett alone. That's a lot of points. Mm-hmm. They relied on the three more than any other team in the SEC last year for their points, and they're losing two 40% guys in Barnett and Robertson. So there's going to be a lot put on the shoulders of whoever those wing players, those backcourt guys are. And I'm not sure we really know who is going to be in those roles yet.
Yep. How delicately is the staff? Do they have to approach the recruiting trail, understanding that, yes, they want both Ramey and Liddell and maybe even Calixte, but also the knowledge that if both Porters, either of the Porters or none of the Porters come back, that alters your scholarship numbers?
I think you just have to go in with a plan. I mean, if you get one Porter back, here's what you do. If you get zero back, here's plan B. You have some guys on deck that maybe aren't your really high-profile recruits, but someone else you can go out and get. And then when you're talking about the grad transfer market, I mean, that situation is so fluid. There's probably going to be more than ever this year because guys are seeing how the process works. And when you have more situations like Cassius Robertson, you realize that how well that process can go. So, again, a year ago this time, none of us in mid-Missouri knew who Cassius Robertson was. So you can find an impact player in the spring, early summer, a guy that can really shake up your roster pretty quick. So we'll see what happens. Konzo's been through this before. He's not a rookie here. He's went out and gotten grad transfers and high-profile recruits late in the game. So it's going to be a really interesting month once that spring signing period starts and once there's some resolution with the Porter brothers.
Well, most people a year ago wouldn't have known where Canisius College was either. So.
And they still might not.
Well, all right, point made, let alone they find out where the University of Maine is, as one of those grad transfer targets is out there. All right, Dave Matter, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. What's next for you? What's the big project coming up?
Well, we've been kind of looking back on Missouri's season this year of basketball and how the individual guys did through the course of the year. And over the weekend, we'll take a kind of a bigger step back and look at the whole season and how everything unfolded. So that's kind of the focus right now, and then we'll keep looking at spring football as that winds down here in a couple weeks, and we'll see whatever else happens next.
All right, back to football real quick. Is there a guy that we need to kind of keep an eye on besides the big name? I mean, we're going to focus a lot on Drew Locke all year, but who's somebody else that's kind of sneaky in the wings?
That's a good question. Name your guy along the defensive line. There are so many D tackles on this team. If they could figure out a way to get five of them on the field at once, they could. But Jordan Elliott looks really impressive as an athlete, a versatile guy up front, the Texas transfer. He can play tackle. He can play defensive end. Heck, they could probably put him at middle linebacker if they have to. He's an impressive-looking athlete, so he's somebody to keep an eye on.
All righty. Dave Matter, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. How'd your bracket survive?
Oh, terrible.
Okay.
I was in last place at last check at the Post-Dispatch. I just got buried early. Every one of my upset bids I tried to call out, I got burned on, and obviously I didn't pick any of the upsets, so I was flat out miserable.
Yeah, I got burned on Loyola. I forgot you don't bet against the nun.
I actually had them win in a game or two.
Oh, okay.
Virginia didn't do me any favors.
Yeah, no.
And a few others out there.
No, they didn't. All right, Dave, thank you for the time, man. I really do appreciate it. Have a nice, quiet, peaceful time hunkering down for a little bit. Thank you.
All right. Knock on wood.
Yeah, and everything else there. Appreciate it. Thanks. Dave Matter, St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Dave_Matter. Read the work and STLtoday.com as well. Beat writer for both Missouri Tiger football and also basketball as well. So this basketball thing is incredibly intriguing because you've got – and he's right. You've got plan A, plan B, plan C. You've got one roster that kind of looks like this with both Porters. That's probably the unrealistic roster. That's I won the lottery one.
Right.
Okay. Then you have a roster with Jontay.
Right.
Or one of the Porters.
Sure.
Okay. Then you have the most likely scenario with neither. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I
don't know if that's the most likely.
Is the most likely the one that has one of the two?
I think so still.
I'm pushing you close to the cliff here.
No, it's okay. I think that Jonte should come back. I understand why Michael's
mm-hmm.
going.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why Jonte's declaring not signing an agent and going through the process.
Right.
I just think that in the grand scheme of things, he could do with one more year, and this is not from a team rah-rah perspective, I really think he could grow and be one of those top five, top six guys next year.
Impartial observer perspective. And yes, I wish for Missouri success and all the rest of that, but impartial observer's perspective on this one as we wrap this up, I would suggest that he stay because I want to see more development low post play. I want to see him become more comfortable there. I want to see more lateral movement, and maybe he can get rid of some of that that 17, 18-year-old puffiness a little bit. Get him a year in that weight room.
Sure.
You know, let him work, because he really didn't do that this past year. So hour number two is coming up. Aaron Rodgers will join us.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.